Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algie, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy. Hey folks, this is episode 203. This week we have my friend Jason Lee McKinney on to talk about his band's upcoming album. But before we do that, same old shit. What you got, Dennis?
Oh, not the same old shit. Not the same old shit.
That's funny shit right there.
It's all good stuff.
The same old shit.
Oh, let's see who. Let's see how many other people announced that they're going to be on tour this summer. Let's see. Well, one that's not going to be on tour is
Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne. I think if you have not seen Ozzy and you waited around to see him, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm
glad I went 2 years ago. I feel really good about that.
I've seen him twice. A friend of mine, Craig Osbourne, who lives in California, he's had tickets that he... What are you doing, Wendy's?
Alan and I both have a thing for redheads.
Yeah. And you know, look below her head. It says mom. Did you ever notice that?
Yes, I know.
Lisa's
that.
Up there hollering.
Also,
speaking
of stupid logo things, the next time you look at the little Caesars dude, notice the little the embroidery on his toga or whatever it is. It's an L and a C.
Really?
I noticed that the other day. And that's it for your useless.
And they're building a new thing in Newburgh here, right across the street from where I lived, or down the street from me. Guess what it's going to be?
Popeyes.
Fucking Popeyes. It's like, God, I hate Popeyes.
Popeyes is good.
Well, just because you hate Popeyes don't mean there can't be one in the neighborhood.
What do you mean you don't like Popeyes? How do you not like Popeyes?
Put a Long John Silver's in or something.
Oh, see, now I would rather have a Popeyes. Long John Silver's.
I had Popeyes one time and it was terrible. And
you did not have Popeyes and it was terrible.
And this concludes our episode on restaurant reviews and logos.
Crack smoke.
No, anyway, so Ozzy is not going to be going out. What do you think about?
Hey, we went off the rails on that one.
Yeah. What do you think about KK Priest?
I think that's going to be kind of cool, and I'm kind of disappointed that Tim didn't talk about that when he was on our show.
Hey, Tim, you want to come back on the show and share some news?
Yeah.
From the comments that I've seen on the people that posted it, there's a lot of haters out there.
People are going to hate.
I'm going to go back to what I say all the time. People will say what they want because they're behind the safety of their telephone screen or their computer keyboard. If they were face-to-face with any of those guys, I seriously doubt they would say anything because they'd probably get popped in the fucking mouth.
Oh, there wasn't nobody.
I mean, sucks. He wouldn't say that right at him, but we would say it.
No, the only thing, the only shit that it was given to was to KK, and everybody, you know, was basically this.
Yeah,
you know,
whatever.
Fuck KK and fuck this and fuck
this. He has as much right to that music as they do.
Yeah, I do. I think so too. So, is the plan for them just to go out and basically do a pre-show? Is that? I didn't even read into the thing, so I
don't know. I just caught a blurb.
A blurb. Bill, did you get any albums this week?
Nope.
No vinyl?
Mm-mm. Nope. I went shopping yesterday to two Indianapolis shops and got nothing.
Wow.
Didn't even pick anything up and think about it. It
was like dry well, huh? No.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a new album sometime this year.
Oh, you are?
I bought one today. But
That Doobie Brothers concert, for every ticket that you buy, you get a CD.
Oh, really?
So, I'll have at least one album this year.
Can I get vinyl instead of CD? Do I get the option?
I don't think they're going to give you the option. I don't know.
All right. Well, I grabbed five, and I got a little Elton John's Greatest Hits number 2. I've been wanting that one. I had one.
I think I like that one more than I like his first one. And what I like on it best of all is Pinball Wizard and Lucy in the Sky. I think he knocked those remakes out of the park.
Right. Well, sorry seems to be the hardest word. Don't go breaking my heart. Somebody saved my life tonight.
Philadelphia Freedom, buddy. That's my favorite Elton song.
That is. So anyway, it's at Levon's on there. That's a good record. Definitely free. I picked this one up, and I haven't listened to the actual album, but I was messing around in the garage. I was smoking a turkey on Sunday.
Can I guess what he was going to say? Smoking a turd.
No, smoking a turkey. And it's just hard to bring my record thing outside. So I listened to the album on Spotify. What a fantastic album.
Well, Daryl, it's not meant to work.
Daryl Hall and John Oates, Abandoned Luncheonette. This is her second album. It has She's Gone on it. But I'm telling you what, that is a fantastic album. I mean, it's dated.
What else is on there?
She's Gone.
So it's an EP, is that what you're saying? Like a one-song single, 12-inch single?
I'm just a kid. Don't make me feel like a man. Laughing Boy, She's Gone. Las Vegas Turnaround, it's called the Stewardess Song. Had I Known You Better, Lady Rain, When the Morning Comes, Abandoned Luncheonette, and Every Time I Look at You.
Okay, well, never mind.
But it is a fantastic album. I really enjoyed it. It was like one of those just kind of different things.
Now, does that Finally Every Time I Look at You sound anything like a Kiss song off of the Revenge album?
It doesn't. Huh. I picked up a really nice copy of Grease. I've been wanting this for a long time, so I finally found it, and I got it for $5.50. So, I mean, I felt pretty good about that.
She's hot.
Yeah, she is. She's super hot. Oh, man, I love this. Carpenter's The Singles. Here we go. 1969 to 1973. That is a great album. It's got all the good shit on it. We Just Begun, Top of the World, Ticket to Ride, Superstar, Rainy Days and Mondays. Should I go on?
Nope.
Anyway, and then I picked up, and I don't know why. I'm not a huge fan, but every time I see one of their records, I'll go ahead and pick it up because I just want to kind of do my collection. And this album, Who Sell Out, it was one of these ones that I was looking one time on. They had a deal about what are the most expensive albums because of, you know, either they made them wrong or did something wrong with them. This was one of those albums.
Really?
But I picked it up for, pulled the sticker up. I picked it up for $5.
I had no idea.
But only thing it's got on here that's decent, it has, it's a nice old record. I Can See for Miles. So, you know, it's an older Who. But anyway, I thought it was kind of cool. So, it makes my collection a little bigger. That's it for this week.
That's about all you can say.
That's it. For Rump. I'm done with that one. Trying to think what else happened this week. Trying to sell my console stereo because it takes up too much space. And I really don't want to play my records on it because the needle's not perfect. You know, I don't want to fuck my... I play my old shit. But it's so big. And I bought a 72 bottle wine rack. I need room for it. So I got to put... Because I'm into wine now.
So wait a minute. So you're afraid your needle's not sharp enough.
Right.
But it's too big. But you bought a big rack. I am so confused.
you're reading
episode,
into that.
This episode's
you're
reading going... into that. No, I don't know what you're talking about. This is crazy. It
sounds like he's talking about Hooters and hot dogs.
I don't know what's going on. You must. Something's happening here.
Something else musically wise that I thought was cool, and I can't remember what it was. What is it? I heard that Rat. Who else was going out with them? It's another four.
Got everybody. Rat.
No, it was
Tom Kiefer.
Yeah, Rat. Tom Kiefer.
Shit.
Oh, Slaughter.
Don't start that. Why'd you start that?
Slaughter and somebody else. But, yeah, I think that it's just like everybody's like, have you got a tour yet? No, we need to get a tour together.
Hop on the bus.
It's going to be a great summer.
Jason Lee McKinney, people. All right, I'm recording now, so anything you say can and will be held against you in a court of public opinion.
You mean the most judgmental court of all.
Exactly.
Oh, the news media. We'll send it right to the news media. That'll get
some
shit.
They're always fair and balanced.
Always fair and balanced. So right. Speaking of fair and balanced, we've got my good friend Jason Lee McKinney here. And the Jason Lee McKinney Band has a new album coming out in a couple of days. And he's going to tell you all about it. And we have him on the phone, by the way.
I'm currently driving down the road. I-40.
And he doesn't think he's talented enough to drive down the road and do Skype video.
That's a little shocking.
I could do that, but then we'd take the show all the way to the fiery crash to death.
Just think what that would do for our numbers. No, yeah. I'm kidding.
Finally, we get 50 viewers.
So anyway, Jason, talk about your new album.
Well, it's an album of sound waves and syllables put together in the English form that we hope people are entertained by. No, it's our eighth album. We recorded it in Mississippi, Coldwater, Mississippi, down at Jim Dickinson's place, the Zebra Ranch, which Dylan recorded there, and North Mississippi All-Stars does all their stuff there. And, we just kind of the same as it ever was, if I can quote the Talking Heads, as far as, like, we did it all live in a room. And but it is the first album of new material since Sacred Southern Soul back in 2017. We did a live album in 2018, but that wasn't new material. So it's really the first album of new material in 3 years. So it's good to finally get some new stuff out there.
Are you following up with some shows?
We are. We are doing some album release shows coming up in a few weeks. We're doing one in Evansville, Indiana at Boca Lounge. We're doing one at Lafayette's Music Room in Memphis. And then we're doing one in Nashville. We're not playing much in March, but starting in April, we start the regular tour cycle, you know, rinse, repeat. We'll be touring throughout from April throughout the end of the year.
Any indie dates?
No, not right now, I don't think. We're going to be in Michigan City, and I think we got some talks going on for a festival in Valpo. And I think the closest we're talking with is Westfield. We did their 4th of July, their Independence Day stuff, and we might do that, which I know that's not indie proper, but...
No, that's close. You know, That's close. We'll take that.
Hopefully we get the work. So that's both the keyboard player and I both have family that live up there.
Cool. So what's the record like this time? Is it similar to the other stuff, or you have some new vibe, new inspiration?
It's death polka.
You know, I'm going to tell y'all right now, Jason stole that from me. I don't know if...
Maybe, perhaps.
Well, one night I was setting up, and as a matter of fact, I think it was for your band, but I was setting up down at one of the local establishments, and somebody walked up to me while I was setting the speakers and everything up and says, "What kind of music do they play?" And I said, "Death metal polka." Well, we're not sticking around for that.
Well, no, I mean, it's always the same mix of stuff. We've always been influenced by blues, folk, soul, and, you know, Americana, and it's always a mix. Now, different albums can lean one more direction or more the other, but it's still the same mix. I mean, I would say this one probably leans more into our soul and blues side than maybe some of the others, but all the elements that have always been there are always there. I mean, you know, nothing like... you know, we paint with a broad enough brush that we have a lot of room to move within that. But at the same time, we're not going to so drastically change that it's not recognizable.
That makes sense. Are there any artists that had any influence on you for this current album?
Oh, you guys cut out. You there?
Yeah. The question that
any artists that had influences?
I said, were there any artists that had influence on this album for you?
I mean, once again, probably the same that I always have. I mean, there's obviously new people we dig. I mean, over the last few years, the whole band's gotten into Marcus King. He's phenomenal. He's awesome. Doyle Bramall. But as far as, like, the influences, man, it's everything from, you know, old blues guys like Albert King and Wolf, the, you know, R&B stuff, like anything that Nile Rodgers did, and Obviously, I'm a huge Prince fan. Anybody that knows me knows that. Going back to, you know, Willie Nelson and, you know, the Stones, and I would say we're, as far as influence goes, we're pretty 1970s-based influenced. A lot of our favorite music comes from that era, from the 70s. But we certainly have new artists we listen to, but I'm not sure they have as much of an influence, because I would suspect that when you look at like a Marcus King or a Doyle Bramble or a Gary Clark Jr., the reason why there's similarities there is because the people they're influenced by are also our influences. So I would say there's contemporaries, but not necessarily anyone contemporarily that influences us.
That makes sense. Speaking of Prince, I was going to ask you, which did you prefer, the Prince halftime show or the J-Lo Shakira halftime show?
Well, with all due respect to the Latin female empowerment that a lot of people are really proud of, I would much prefer on a personal level to watch Prince's halftime show any and every day of the week.
As soon as I saw there, when Alan said, hey, we're going to have Jason Lee back on, I said, I got a question. Because
I can't speak for everyone, but my own personal preference would be to watch Prince's halftime show.
Yeah, I would like to watch J-Lo during Prince's halftime show.
There you go.
I just thought it was funny. Whenever we were talking, whenever you said you were going to be on, I was like, oh, I got a question. So there we go. Yeah, no, the Prince show. Yeah. It's funny. There was a thing not long ago about that right after the Super Bowl about which ones are the best. And somebody ranked the Prince show like the fifth or sixth best. And I'm like, seriously? He played in the rain. He played Purple Rain in the rain. Like,
yeah.
God was part of that. I don't know how. Seriously.
Yeah, that was the only, and I kind of, one of the things I admire about that performance that a lot of people don't even notice is just how much he rolled with the punches. Like, I don't know if you know, the first time he switched guitars, and when he grabbed that new guitar, whoever the engineer is, I mean, God love engineers and their mistakes, but no offense, Alan. But the guitar, when he switched to it, was so freaking loud. It was overbearingly loud, if you notice. Like, and he just sort of went with it and turned the volume down himself and, you know, kind of played a little more sparse. And there was just a lot that went wrong that made it so brilliant and made it so right. Is he just rolled with everything that happened and made it a brilliant performance. And there is something magical about, you know, 80,000 people singing Purple Rain in the torrential downpour rain that I think was pretty amazing. And you could tell, the other thing about there being brilliant, like when he grabbed his guitar, it being too loud, and like you could hear his, like at one point his mouth hit the microphone and you could hear it, you know, make a sound. The other thing that makes that so brilliant about a halftime show is he was actually singing and playing, where almost no one is actually singing and playing, at least completely live. They may be singing along with recorded vocals, but he, I believe, was completely live, which I also think takes some big cojones as well.
Yeah, I think that was the only way he agreed to do it. If I remember right, I think I remember reading an article back then that actually they'd been courting him for a couple of years, and the thing that he was holding out was he wanted to do a live segment, and there was this concern about, you know, the 5-second delay and all this other kind of stuff. And he's like, I don't care if you 5-second delay it, but I'm not lip syncing. You
right.
know, I'm playing my stuff. So I did read that back, but you know, back whenever that all happened, but yeah, cool stuff. Anyway, sorry, we got off track there a little bit, but I know you're a big Prince.
Well,
fan,
we're going to stay off track a little bit while we're talking about Prince. Did you guys see Prince's performance during the George Harrison tribute? I believe it was George Harrison.
When he like showed Tom Petty and everyone who the real rock star was,
right, with that monster guitar solo.
Yeah, I love that he just flipped the pick, threw the guitar up, and just walked off.
Yeah, like
the song was still going, just turned around and walked off. Like, my work here is done.
Yep.
Yeah. So, to me, I just rewatched Purple Rain last night, honestly, and I will say musically that holds up every bit. It could come out today, and musically it holds up. The acting is horrendous in that movie. It's really bad. So, I mean, as talented as he was, he couldn't do everything. But, still nostalgically, I mean, that movie is why I became a musician. I was like, oh, I want to do that, you know. Kind of how, like, when Alan heard The Elders, that's when he decided he would be a musician, like Kiss.
Bingo.
Yeah.
I mean, Kiss is, everyone agrees that's Kiss's greatest album.
Especially Bill.
Not a chance. Not a chance. We watched that movie a couple weeks ago. It was on TV, and we watched it. And I remember when we went to it was back when we were in high school is when it came out. And I remember we went to see it, I think like 4 or 5 times. And after we got done watching, I'm like, that freaking movie was horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, why on God? I mean, the only reason we could have went 4 or 5 times was the music. That is the only reason why we could have went. Because,
well, and to wash yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka.
Yeah, something. I don't know. It's just like, wow, not great acting, but musically.
No, not at all.
That movie, I've heard it being equated to the 80s version of Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
That's not too far off, I don't think.
Mm-mm. I would agree. The acting was pretty similar.
What acting?
Yeah, although I will say Prince was a slightly better actor than Ace Frehley.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yep. And of course Peter Criss didn't do his own vocals in that movie.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
His entire dialogue was overdubbed.
Wow. Well,
and if you watch close enough, you look at him, you can tell why it was overdubbed. I don't think you could get 2 syllables.
Ow. It's crazy. A little trash. Well, I've seen that movie several times as well.
I've only seen that movie once.
Oh.
I've only seen Purple Rain once too.
Oh,
and both of those,
well, let's listen to the soundtrack.
And both of those have been within the last like 3 years.
Oh, really?
Really? Honest to goodness, I've seen bits and pieces of them for my entire life, but until recently, I'd never watched either one of them all the way through, and I probably never watch either one of them all the way through again.
That's probably okay.
Yeah, there's not a lot of great music movies out there. There just isn't. I mean, everyone went crazy for Bohemian Rhapsody, and I thought it was good, but I didn't think it was great. I thought the story was a bit campy, and the Elton John movie, I didn't like at all. And, I mean, there's just not a lot of great ones out there. I didn't like the Doors movie. I mean, there's just not a lot of them out there that hold up very well, I don't think. I saw recently a movie on Hank Williams Sr.'s life with Loki, Tom Hiddleston in it, and it was pretty rough. It was bad. I don't know what it is about it. I think one of the things that bugs me about it is I can always tell they're not actually playing, which kind of bugs me. Now, Walk the Line was awesome. That movie was
awesome. That's a good movie. Yeah. Yep.
Haven't seen that one either.
There's just not a lot of them.
Yeah, well, one just popped in my head, and I cannot think of it. Damn. Keep talking. It'll come to me.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I didn't think Rock and Roll High School was very good, but I think the budget was about $2,000 for that whole movie, so that wasn't awesome. I don't know what other. I mean, I'm trying to think what others are out there. Oh, remember the Bee Gees version of Sgt. Pepper's? Man, what?
Yeah, actually, I have that. I have that soundtrack actually.
The music's still great, but the acting, what a piece of sludge that was.
Yes.
I know what I was thinking.
What's Love got to do with it was really good. The Temptations movie miniseries was awesome. Temptations miniseries was really good.
Oh, That Thing You Do is pretty good. That's not, I mean, that's a movie musical thing, but that was really good.
I'll say the best one, and it's my all-time favorite movie. I think it's the greatest movie ever. It's fictional, but it's sure based on a lot of realities, Almost Famous. That's my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah. I was just getting ready to ask you about that movie.
I've seen it 60 times. I've got it memorized.
What about Spinal Tap?
I love that movie. Spinal Tap's great, but in a different way, you know.
Well, even those of us who have only ever been in bar bands can totally appreciate the humor in that movie.
Oh, Spinal Tap? Absolutely.
I know what movie I was thinking about. So Whiplash. Have you seen that?
Yeah, that was all right. That was all right.
I like that movie. That was a blues music movie. It's a good movie. I thought it was a good movie.
I mean, nothing tops Crossroads. I mean, because the blues ain't nothing but a good man feeling bad.
That's true.
You know Crossroads? Oh, Ralph Macchio, man, the greatest guitar player to ever live.
Ralph Macchio. Okay. We have digressed.
I mean, he ripped out on the blues, and then he pulled out classical and beat Steve Vai, who had sold his soul to the devil. I mean, obviously, he proved right there. And he was dating Jamie Gertz in the movie. That right there proves something.
Well, yeah, that's okay. Yep. Karate Kid didn't do too bad for himself then.
He did not. Not too bad at all.
Not too bad.
We just discovered a TV series. It's an HBO series called The Deuce, and Ralph Macchio plays a detective in that series.
Really?
Which is funny because the premise of the series is a streetwalker turned into a porn star. We're only like 5 or 6 episodes in, but you know. Not the kind of movie that you'd expect the Karate Kid to be in, or a TV series, rather.
Right. Does he still look like he's 12?
No, he's wrinkly.
He still looks young, but he doesn't look quite that young. He might be 26 now.
Okay. About time. I mean, you think about that. Karate Kid, though, is one of the greatest sports movies ever. I mean... Mm-hmm. We were making fun of music movies, but sports movies have certainly never struck out. I mean, you think about all the great ones, you know, Air Bud and Angels in the Outfield, The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh. I mean, all the greatest sports
movies. Ace Ventura.
Ace Ventura, yes. Basketball. I mean, all the classics, you know.
Space Jam.
I have to admit, my 6-year-old loves Space Jam. He loves him some Space Jam.
That's funny.
So, besides terrible movies, what musically have you been listening to lately?
Well, I don't listen to movies as much as I'm, or listen to movies, listen to music as much as I'm pour through podcasts and philosophy books. I'm back in school getting a master's in philosophy, believe it or not.
Good Lord.
I just can't get enough.
You ain't never going to be rich, boy. You got to keep paying for that school.
I know. I spent a whole semester last year on Soren Kierkegaard reading his entire catalog, as they say. But no, I mean, I'm like I said, I mentioned before, Marcus King, I've been listening to a lot of. Still dig Gary Clark, Tedeschi Trucks. I mean, there's not been any real new bands. California Honey Drops is a great band I've been listening to. JJ Gray and Mofro. Yeah, just as far as new stuff, I discovered there's actually, I've been kind of getting into gospel music, like not white gospel music, because, well, that just sucks. But like black gospel, there's a new band called Nashville Life. Man, they're cool. Like, they have a Mr. Talk Box on their stuff. So you got like the black gospel harmonies, and then you got a talk box going, like, you know, Rogers and Zapp. Pretty cool stuff. Yeah, that's the kind of stuff. I mean, like California Honey Drops, like I said. And then, you know, if you were to open up and say, what music have I been listening to lately? That opens it up a lot more. Cause you know, I've been on a big Otis Redding kick, not that that's new, obviously, since he, you know, died a long time ago. But just going through his and trying to talk the band into covering Don't Let the Green Grass Fool You, which is a great kind of, it was an R&B hit, but it never crossed over into the main, you know, the mainstream. But man, what a great song.
What was the band you said, California something or other?
California Honey Drops.
That's what I thought you
said. Think I'm remembering that name correctly.
That's why we do this podcast, just so we can get new music to listen to.
Yeah, man. They're pretty cool. They're not too shabby. There's a band called The Dip. They're really cool, too. And it's not like Copenhagen. Like, a different kind.
I like the Skull Bandits.
Do you listen to Blackberry Smoke?
I listen to them some. I'm probably more... I land more on the soul and R&B and blues side of things.
Than the Southern rock side?
Yeah, that would be Billy Wright.
I was going to say, Billy's your Southern rocker.
He is. And I 100% completely reject that moniker for our band.
Oh.
I don't think we're Southern rock at all, although he likes to tell people we are. But half the time just to annoy me. But I don't think that, it's not that I hate on Southern rock bands, I don't think that's what we are.
No, I don't think so. I think it's definitely more soul. I think you're right. Americana, soul kind of stuff.
Yeah, I hope so. Otherwise, I'm not sounding the way I'm intending. So, not that there aren't elements. I mean, if you think about it, though, there are elements of those of Americana and soul and blues and Southern rock. So, I mean, I can see where someone would connect those dots, but I just don't think they connect all the way. Far as Southern rock, I mean, I don't hear Whiskey Myers or Blackberry Smoke as good as those bands are in us. I do. I mean, I could go with hearing a little bit of Black Crowes, but that's because I think the Black Crowes leaned a little more towards the soul side than like a Whiskey Myers or a Blackberry Smoke.
Hmm. Oh, Whiskey Myers Billy has just a good name to it.
They do. Billy Wright just wants to be in an Allman Brothers tribute band, so. That's what he wishes we were.
Tell him I said eat a peach.
There you go.
Well, getting back to your album, how many songs are on the new album?
There are 10. Nice and tight. 10 songs. That is opposed
on one
to
record?
Sacred So- huh?
On one record?
Yep, 10 songs. As opposed to Sacred Southern Soul, which was 15 songs. And Play Something You Believe, Volumes 1 and 2, which is 18. So we definitely trimmed it back this record. And honestly, the songs on this record are much shorter. One of the things I wanted to do was, I love the kind of certain sides of like the jam band vibe. Not like the Grateful Dead or, you know, Fish. I mean, I don't really dig that sort of jam band stuff. Even like Humphreys McGee. Or even like, you know, Scary Pockets or some of that more like lettuce, more of the groove sort of jam band stuff. I always love the music that those bands, or even you get like into old funk like Parliament, Funkadelic. I love the grooves and the songs, but I felt like, I wondered if they lose some of their audience just by the sheer length of the arrangements and how long those songs are and, you know, how this solos at a certain point I feel like can get a little bit masturbatory, and you're not really playing for anyone but yourself at that point. And I wondered, like, what if there was like jam band vibes but in really tight 3.5 minute arrangements? So that's one of the things I kind of did. I tend to approach albums by setting parameters, and I think it makes you more creative by deciding what you're not going to allow yourself to do. Otherwise, my personality, I can kind of wander all over the place.
I can dig that. Your challenge for your next album is to get the jam band vibe, but to do 2-minute songs like the Ramones.
There you go. Ironically, we're already comping and mixing our next record.
That is awesome. Well, before we get to your next record, what's the release date of this coming record?
It's going to be the 21st of February.
That's like in 3 days.
It is, yep. 3 days.
That'll be the day after this.
That's
airs,
right. This goes out on Thursday.
We are right on the money.
Well, yeah. we kind of, Jason and I kind of planned that.
We
didn't have to tell people that. We could have, they could have just thought we were awesome.
They
and
know.
Was perfect.
They know.
They know better.
Our listeners know. We don't.
You know, Jason, you're talking about influences and stuff like that, and the you know, that's why I like Midnight in Memphis so much. That song, the groove to that song, just I mean, that's just actually that's my favorite song you guys do.
Oh man, thank you. I don't know that anyone's ever said that, but I appreciate that. I love that song.
And the only time I ever could have heard it, you had played it right before I got there. It was the song. It was the song right before we got into the venue.
Man, you should have let me know.
I think
I remember that venue. I think most people were lubricated enough that by the end of the night we could have played it again and no one would have.
Probably could have. But I remember asking. I remember asking the person that was working the merch thing. I said, "They played Midnight in Memphis." Yet she goes, are you kidding me? And I go, no. And she goes, they just finished it. And I'm like, are you shitting me? Like, you gotta be kidding me.
That just means you gotta come see us again at some point.
Yeah, I have to go to Evansville or something. Oh, Westfield. I go to Westfield.
Yeah, we played there a couple of years ago though, 4th of July, and it was 107 degrees on their football field, and we got the pleasure of playing right as the sun was going down. And we were facing the west. So.
Yeah, well, if that's the case this year, you will not see me.
That probably still wasn't as hot as when you went overseas, though, was it?
It was not as hot as Djibouti or Qatar.
I can understand that.
Not nearly as hot as the... Nor as sandy as Kuwait.
Woo!
Well, thank you for your service to our your service to our servicemen
and women.
Man, it was a phenomenal
and women
experience.
And women for sure.
Yeah,
yeah. If you guys do that again, I think I'm going to tell Benny I get to go this time.
Well, while
I'm in the hospital recovering from Benny beating my ass.
Yeah. Benny got his directorial debut in a video that premiered on American Blues Scene.
That is awesome. Benny's a good dude.
They premiered Blues in Bahrain, and it's just all it is footage that we took over there. And so Benny put it together, and the label liked it. And, Benny's now a director. I keep teasing him, and the Oscar goes to...
I should just send him a text right now that says, and the Oscar goes to Benny, with no explanation.
Oh, he'll know.
So where can our listeners find your new album?
Oh, it'll be all the usual suspects, Apple Music, Amazon, Spotify. If you want to get vinyl, it'll be out in some stores, or you can come to the merch table and buy some vinyl. I just ordered today a banner. We are no longer carrying CDs. Doesn't make any financial sense. So I created this banner with QR codes because we will get people doing things like, hey, what album is Midnight in Memphis on? And the banner just points like, oh, hover your phone right over that album right there, and it'll take you right to it.
That's pretty cool.
We are carrying vinyl. Yeah, I thought so. We just don't sell enough CDs anymore for it to matter. But we are going to carry vinyl, and I'm super excited about that. Vinyl, of course, sounds better, and there's, you know, the aestheticness of it, just the how the artwork is bigger, and, you know, we get to feel and touch the album, and, you know, I think there's something to that as well as the sound. And one of the big changes is this album's on Bonfire Music Group, so we did sign a deal. So it's going to be the first one of our albums where we decided to partner up with a label. Not really the first time we could have done that, but the first time we have done that. Just found a label that we believed in and supported us, and they've supported us great. And to be honest, we kind of got tired of trying to do everything on our own, so we finally caved in. It's like we were the committed bachelor that finally got tired of doing his own laundry. I mean, fell in love and decided to form a union, a sacred union with a spouse. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So, trying to save it.
That is awesome. All right, what's your website, Jason?
It is www.jasonleemckinneyband.com. And we're on all the socials. We're on Facebook and Instagram. We're on Friendster. We're on MySpace. I'm even friends with Tom on MySpace, which I feel pretty lucky about that, to be quite honest. I mean, not everyone gets to be friends with Tom. And, you know, if you have any trouble finding things, just go on your computer and go to the search engine Ask Jeeves, and you put in Jason Lee McKinney Band, and we'll, in about 4 or 5 minutes, we'll come up.
4 or 5 minutes.
All right, man. Well, we know you're traveling down I-40, so we will let you get back to traveling and paying attention to the road instead of us. We appreciate your time.
No worries, man.
We appreciate your time, and we'll get this out, and I'll send it to you as soon as it goes live.
Sounds great. Appreciate you guys having me.
All right, folks.
Later, man.
Folks, check us out on agentsofrock.com. Find our social media, Stitcher Radio, and all of that good stuff. Till next time, peace out. Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.